Hello everyone, welcome to All Things Relationship Podcast, a one-stop solution for all your relationship queries and questions. Here you will find everything from people's stories, experts on panel, and some great knowledge that can help you make love real and perfect. So let's jump right in.
Our today's guest, Reggie Waterman, is a product marketing expert, a brand consultant, and a workshop facilitator based out of Toronto, Ontario. But that's not it. Behind the scenes, or I should say on the screen, Reggie is an actor, a model, and a lifestyle and fitness icon as well. So let's dive in into this really interesting conversation with Reggie.
So you come from a two-parent household, so you actually had two people living there, right? Mm-hmm. They often would even disagree with each other. They would support each other. They would disagree with each other. So now you know that power is not consolidated to one single person. You know that everyone's human. There is room for flexibility. Now, the mother of your children, she comes from a single-parent household. It's like, okay, she said it. It's like written in stone. I have to follow it.
And you know what? Like, at the end of the day, you're absolutely right. Like, you look at two different environments, a single-parent household versus a two-parent household. Whichever way you slice and dice it, both environments have its pros and cons. Because you could have two parents that, you know, kind of butting heads all the time, creating a negative environment for the children to be exposed to, and that will impact the children. On the flip side, there could be a single parent environment, but that parent has created such an amazing positive environment for their son or daughter or kids that it does manifest in a positive manner and it carries on into their adult life, right? But if it's the other way around and it's just negative, like, there is always something that's going to be missing. And one thing that I want you to key in on, I was listening to a podcast, which, and they said something so brilliant that women nowadays, you know, they would complain that they can't find men. They can't find men out there and this and that. Men are this. Men are lazy. They don't do this. They don't take accountability for nothing. Or they don't have the drive. They don't have the ambition. Do you understand that with a single parent household, sometimes with that lack of father figure, if you're a mother that's raising a son and you raise him in a manner where you're doing everything for this boy and you're not giving him the tools and the skill set to be a man because you can't teach a man how to be a man because you don't have the tools, right?
Yes.
In theory. So essentially, that boy grows into a man.
Yeah.
Where the women at his age now in adulthood are complaining about that same man that was raised by a single mother. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like a lot of women right now are raising boys into the men that they complain about.
Yep. Because not letting them, the boys express themselves and then are complaining, okay, come on, you're not being a man. You never taught them. You never let them learn.
Exactly.
It's not the men that are trash. It's your taste in them, first of all. And that's why you don't have a lasting relationship to start with.
Yep. And remember on, Cocktails with Cello, we talked about the healing. So a lot of, failed relationships stem from not being healed, not being healed from the previous relationship or past traumas. Or traumas that stem from childhood that manifest into adulthood.
That's true. And that brings me, how did you heal out of the relationship with the mother of your children?
That's a great, good question. And it took me years. I would say that 2019, last year, was the time that I finally, and that was just last year, released all of that pain, that hurt, because we went through some really dark times, like hurtful times. You know, to a point where my kids were impacted. It took like years for me to get over, you know, the pain, the stress from, you know, the mother of my kids, just because of everything that we went through. You know, I went through it, my parents went through it, and, you know, me trying to be an active father, and then the other parent really trying to block my access to the kids, is something that, you know, really hurt me. When you think about it, it's time that I will never, ever get back.
Yeah, true.
Right? And I live 7 minutes away from these kids. But, you know, having a strong support system in the form of my family, especially my mom, she'd always, you know, she raised me to be, you know, to really build a relationship, strong relationship with God. And okay, having that strong relationship with God allowed me to, you know, go through that healing process and really tap into and release all that pain so that I could actually have a better future. And if I'm having a better future, that means for sure my kids are having a better future. About
your relationship with God?
Yeah, relationship with God and just in the healing process.
No, healing process is something that, yes, it takes time. Did you go through the healing process multiple times as you have gathered so much data and experiences?
I went through it multiple times. I think my relationship with God has guided me in so many different ways. It's crazy. Like, so many things has happened. And what I mean by that is, in January? I remember January 2013. That's when I finally, like, said no more with the child's mother. And it was, and I remember, like, it was yesterday. We got into like a big argument. She said that she wanted to, like, you know, make things work. Let's get back together. And I remember saying, well, okay, because it was Super Bowl and I was going to my friend's house to watch the big football game. So I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about this after the game. And she said to me, she goes, for real? I'm like, yeah, let's talk about this after the game. Like, we'll reconvene. And she said, fine. And I said to God, I'm like, if she comes back to me before I get back to her, because I gave her instructions that I will talk to her the next day, and if she comes back to me and tells me that it's done, then that was my answer from God that I'm gonna walk away, my final like walk away. Okay. Lo and behold, she sent me a text, said, if you need to think about it, then don't worry about it. So I said, okay, there's my answer. I walked away. Even with my ex that I was together for 5 years, I remember in Vegas, I was in Vegas and I was away for work. And I met this random guy, this guy named Juan, at a party, pool party. I met him the night before through this other girl, and we just got to talking and we saw each other at the pool party. We said, hey, Juan, what's going on? And, we started drinking. And then randomly he goes to me, hey man, I feel like you got like the world of your, the world on your shoulders. And I feel like you have to you have to make a decision. And I just want to let you know, I have a message for you. Cool. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And this message that I'm about to tell you is that you don't have to do it if you don't want to. And I was like, and I started like, I had my shades on, but I had like a tear was like forming in my eye. And I was just like, oh my God, how does he know? Because it came back to the idea of having another baby. Right. And I knew I didn't really want, remember, I kept on saying to you, I have to have another baby.
Yeah.
It's not like I wanted one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I felt like at that point, I'm like, did God send Juan to like deliver this message to me? And as a result of, because eventually her and I got engaged and we had to break up the engagement because obviously we want two different things out of life. And I'll tell you this, Nishant, as a result of just those two occurrences where God has always been in the center, things have gotten so much better in my life. For example, this conversation that you and I are having.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have been having this conversation if I stayed the course, if I got engaged, if I stayed married, because all the things that I'm doing right now, I wouldn't be doing a fraction, not even 25% of what I'm doing right now. I would have been going through the motions of what every other married person does, you know, just going 9 to 5, you know, going to work in the morning, come home, eat dinner, watch TV, go to sleep, rinse and repeat, just like everybody else.
I know, yeah, what you're talking about. Messages are there.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's nuts. And you look around at other people, and a lot of the, like, my friends, I can't say that they are extremely happy. I think they're all just content. Just go through the motions of being in this relationship. And I think even COVID-19 has exposed a lot of relationships, right? During this time, because now everyone's, you know, a lot of them are working from home. They don't have a lot of the buffers. A lot of the buffers, what I mean by that is the ability to go to work and have away time from their spouse.
Yeah. A lot of relationships were, you know, moving on the borderline of breaking up. They were on the borderline of shattering. But since they were like, okay, I only have to go through with this person's mess for this many hours a day. Then I can chill out with my friends or, you know, blow the steam at office or just go to club in the evening. And it's all refreshed up. I'll get the energy to go through the same mess again for a few hours the next day. So they were living at the borderline of discomfort. It's like a little nudge and they'll break apart. And you know what? The most beautiful thing happens when you break, when you're shattered. Because when you're shattered, it's not your wisdom that's shattered. It's your mistakes. Your mistakes that built you. Your wisdom is there. You have the skills. Now you can build yourself from scratch with a huge advantage of wisdom and experience.
You can. Chelsea, like, you're right. Like the experiences that you go through. And that's why I say I have a lot of data based on the experiences that I've been through. So when it comes to relationships now, you know, like I'm ready. I could pinpoint which girl now would be suitable for me right from the get-go. I'll do my little scan based on how they talk to me. I could either put them in this category, which is no, on the left-hand side, or I could put them on the right category, which is yes. It's kind of like it's like Tinder. Like Tinder in my mind, right? I can give a swipe left or swipe right automatically.
Wow. That's quite a lot. Is that also a reason? Is that also a factor that right now the girls will find in your dateable range, that's 35 to 45, I'd say. So they also are quite mature now and their trait, personality traits are much more visible or observable, and they are much more, you know, reliable. Because when you are young, you are much more volatile and much more prone to changes, which won't happen now. Could that also be a factor?
That could be a factor. That's a great question. Like, it could be a factor because, like you said, when you're younger, the girls are more versatile. Even men too, right? Yeah. If you think about it, at 20, yeah. Like Nishant, you at 20, it's totally different than Nishant at 25. Versus 30, versus 35, versus 40, right? Yeah. So when you're dealing with women that are 35 plus, you're taking into account someone that's more mature mentally, but then you also have to take into account what kind of trauma have they faced in the past. If they haven't healed, then you're going to repeat the cycle.
Yeah. You know, yeah, that's what I can say is just like in marketing, the target audience changes.
Yes. You can look at it from a marketing perspective. You're right. Now let's look at the long-term value, LTV, which is another marketing term.
Yep. And it should be high. It should be high. Otherwise.
Yeah, it should be high.
Otherwise, things like really bad experiences can happen. Okay. All right. Reggie, this one question that's been pinging. How's your relationship with your children?
Relationship with my children are good. Now, that's a really good question. So I was just with them this past weekend, which is yesterday. Mm-hmm. I have them every other weekend. And I wish I had them more. I had to fight for more time and I didn't win that battle. I would say my relationship with my daughter is amazing. My son, on the other hand, there's definitely a lot of room for improvement. I wish I had a tighter relationship with him. I think what, you know, the negative impacts of the relationship may or may not have taken a toll, I would say. He's more like, if I had to describe him, do you watch basketball?
Occasionally I've watched it.
Do you know who Kawhi Leonard is? So after this podcast, you're going to go and you're going to Google Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
He's very quiet, extremely quiet, but you know what? He's such a smart, smart, smart kid. So smart. And he's just very observant, but just really quiet. Okay. And I wish, you know, we had that dynamic where we're just going back and forth, just doing what dads do, just dad and father and sons do, just talk about whatever. So that's the only thing that I miss right now.
That would have been very cool. You know, an important part for a son, having his father in life is very important. Having a male figure is important for both children, but for a son, it's like, okay, this is the path. This is where I want to be. This is what I look up to.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I would always tell him, I try to give him concepts of just positivity. That's all. Like, you can come to me with anything. Don't be stubborn. And I always tell him, you remember, because I would tell him from like a young age, do you remember what I told you what it means to be stubborn? He goes, yeah. You said, if I'm stubborn, I'm going to miss out on life. I said, yes. When you're stubborn, you're closed-minded, you are going to miss out on so many opportunities. So don't be stubborn. And life is to be enjoyed. Life is to be experienced. There's a lot of times where he's just at home. And I wish he could go out and hang out with his friends a lot more. But I know where that comes from. You know, it comes from how he was kind of just sheltered. He's very sheltered, unfortunately.
Yeah. Single parents doesn't make that happen.
And as a father, it hurts to watch it because you're like, you remember how you were at that age and you're having so much fun and you want your son to have a lot of fun and a lot of experiences, just like how you had. So,
true.
Yeah.
You could, you know, feel sad for both parts. Oh, maybe I could have done better. It's my fault at times. Then you could be like, okay, if that incident didn't happen or if she acted different, maybe it would have fared differently.
Yeah, I think what happens is this. People have to realize things don't happen or work out in life the way that you want it to work out. And once you have that understanding, when things don't work out, you have to realize that everything happens for a reason. And it's up to you to leverage that opportunity to learn from those lessons and apply it to the next experience. It's like when I think about my ex that I was with for 5 years and we were engaged, I would tell her when we were breaking up, you are going to have this amazing life. You are going to get to have as many kids as you want. Don't settle for the guy that doesn't want to have kids or wants to have one. Why don't you? And she said, yeah, I would want to have multiple. Okay, so then go get it. I don't want to be that person that gets in your way, because I wouldn't want you to be getting in my way. And because so many good, amazing things has happened since, I want to believe that so many good things has happened to her too. And I pray, it's crazy, because I pray for her. I pray for the mother of my children, just so that they could have a good life. Because if you have too much animosity in you, you're not going to grow. Servicing others is not by doing kind acts, but it's also praying for their well-being.
It's having the goodness in your heart. And you know, when you have the goodness in your heart, is when you exude it out of your thoughts or out of your actions, out of everything. And as even the law of attraction says, you get who you are, right? So yes, when you're exuding that happiness and that peace, that goodness for everyone, that's what you're gonna get.
It's a beautiful thing, Nishant. It's a beautiful thing.
Wow.
He's like, I don't know what to say after that.
Yeah, it's like, okay, when you reach there's nothing you would want. There's nothing you know, you're dying for, so as to say, or craving for. Because you're happy in your own being.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. When you're happy within your own being, you can be satisfied with who you are. You know yourself.
Exactly. That is what we call nirvana over here.
Nirvana, yes.
All right. Let's. There are just two questions.
I think I got room for maybe one. I got to wake up early in the morning, so I got like one question left. Yeah.
Right. So, Reggie, okay, let's go with this one. How do you think relationships have changed over time from your parents to yours and now to your kids? How will it be different?
I think my kids' generation messed up. The concept of relationships and marriage is all messed up. I think, you know, if I work backwards and I look at my parents' generation and their culture, you know, majority of them didn't believe in divorce. So it didn't matter what kind of situation they were faced with. They had to work it out and stay together, no matter how miserable they were, right? In the Caribbean culture, you just put up with it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the baby boom, well, some of the baby boomers and then Gen X's, I would say they've kind of opened up the doors the Pandora's box to like divorce, and that's where you see majority of it coming into play, where they said, okay, well, I'm not putting up with this, you know, roles, gender roles changed, right? Where women feel like they're more allowed. Well, there's a subset of women, not every woman feels that they should be in a masculine role. And now they get to make decisions within the household, and they could say, well, I'm not putting up with this and I want a better life. And everyone's entitled to that, right? When you take a look at the kid, now you take a look at our kids' generation or even your generation, you guys are exposed to so much through social media.
Yeah.
It shows, I don't got to put up with this. I don't even got to put up with a bad boss. I could leave my job in two years and go find another job. And they attribute that to relationships too. Well, if I'm not happy in this relationship, I could leave this relationship and go get a new one. So in terms of sustainability, longevity, I think we're in trouble. I also think that the ability to connect on a human level is starting to disappear, and it's losing its value for the younger generation because everything is so digitized. Well, I could have multiple relationships online. I don't really have to commit to just one, right?
Yeah.
They have a full menu when it comes to dating. Like they have a menu of, it's like ordering food. Like, okay, well, I may feel for Chinese today, or I may feel for Indian today, or I may feel for Caribbean today. You know what I mean? What's on the menu? I don't got to commit to one thing.
Yeah.
So, and just what's ever promoted in movies and just in popular culture, I think that's really having an impact on relationships for the younger generation. So, and we're not teaching these kids on how to establish and maintain a connection. Like their social skills. Like if you think about the Gen Z, Generation Z, they're so used to now just being isolated. And like my son doesn't really hang out with his friends outside of home. And I'm talking about before COVID.
Yeah.
During the time he'd just be talking to his friends like online through PS4, right? And I'm like, don't you want to go outside and hang with your friends? So the same thing would be, you know, would manifest itself into the relationships.
Let me wrap this up for you with just one question. It's a quick one. What advice would you give to a 18-year-old Reggie? For life, for relationships, how things panned out.
What I would say is when it comes to relationships, really understand the girl's family dynamic. Understand her childhood, what she went through. Understand her background. Just get to know it. Get to know her siblings. Get to know the cousins. Like, if you're in, you know, just take your time. There's no rush. There really is no rush to anything. And, you know, if you're going to have a relationship, align on the values. The values have to be important. They have to be in alignment. But at 18, just you know what? Have fun. Be safe. Wrap it up. And don't listen to R. Kelly. Back in the day, R. Kelly was... you should listen to him now, but don't listen to him back then either.
Okay. That's really good. Yeah, it impacts a lot who you listen to. It impacts a lot. If you're listening to Justin Bieber all your life, I'm not sure what kind of guy you're going to turn out to be.
Yeah, you know? Like I wish Warren Buffett had like some good like self-help tapes. Like that's what I wish I listened to, since I can know how to invest my money properly.
Yeah, you know what he's gonna say? All right, I read newspapers like 10 hours a day. That is what you should do. And he's right. If you wanna see his way, he's like, okay, I sustain to one way. I'll just know. Well, of course, you know him much more than I do, so there's nothing I'll tell you new. But yeah.
Yeah, I know him pretty well. We just hung out for brunch yesterday, so he's doing well. He told me to tell you hi.
Hey. Thanks a lot, Reggie. Thanks for your time. I hope you get back up early for your meeting.
Yes, no problem. And thank you for having me on this podcast. I'm super excited for when it releases, man. And you're doing some good stuff, Nishant. All right, buddy. Well, I'm going to go get some sleep. Thank you so much. And yeah, let's do it again.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Reggie. Thanks for your time, man.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.